Welcome to the Align Research Podcast.
Hi, this is Zach Meir, and I'm speaking with Clifford Gross, who's Executive Chairman at Tech Capital. How are you today, Clifford?
I'm better than average. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing okay. Right. I've been familiar with your company, I think it's since it came to market, and it's good to catch up and see where you are at the moment. Presumably, you've made decent progress over the last few years.
Yeah, we've actually reported quite good results earlier this month, which I'm happy to briefly cover with you, if you wish.
Okay.
What are the highlights? Great. Would you like a sort of a quick intro to the business for those that may not know us?
I think that might be a good idea. I mean, IP is the headline.
Yeah, it's all about commercializing university discoveries, creating value from new inventions that are developed at the research institutions of the world. And we do it in a way that we think is, you know, quite efficient. We built the world's largest supplier network of university discoveries. We electronically have connected up about 4,500 research institutions, and we capture their IP that's available for license. And that spans, you know, slightly more than 160 countries. And then, so that's the data, which helps us mitigate selection bias by having such a broad selection. And then we have about 62 science advisors that help us screen through these properties to find the ones that have the highest potential. And then our goal is to select those properties that are close to market, and we set up portfolio companies, acquire the rights to those properties, and then seek to bring those properties to market through our commercialization strategy. In addition to that, we also provide services to about 250 of the world's leading universities and research centers and a few very large corporates to help them assess the market potential of their technologies and to help them find individuals to help commercialize their technologies. The benefit of our services is it reduces the cost of operations of our business while simultaneously keeping us really close to many of the world's leading technology developers and universities. So that's the business.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you've got a brains trust, international brains trust, which you're harvesting on an ongoing basis. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, we like that way of describing it. It's basically the world's university idea factory that we're trying to put in harness. We rationalize the supply of these discoveries, and we select them, hopefully sagaciously, and seek to commercialize them. Since we've been doing this, where we're investing in these properties, which has been just about 3 years now, we've set up 9 portfolio companies, and 3 of those portfolio companies, Belloscura, Lucid, and Solaris, are starting to look pretty fetching from our perspective.
But isn't it the case that, I mean, given how I think your average initial investment is $10,000 or $15,000, I mean, things have to go, let's say, pretty wrong for you not to have a win over time. I mean, it's a numbers game, and you just keep spending your $10,000-$15,000 on early stage ideas, and statistics will help you.
Yeah, we're a big fan of going with the numbers. We're a big fan of keeping our technology acquisition cost very low because of the high failure rates that are implicit in this business and in this industry. And we feel that when we do get a winner, it could easily be worth more than the entire market cap of our business. And so that's on a financial basis. Really what that is, you know, getting good returns on invested capital. Returns on invested capital is what we're about financially. And commercially, we're about bringing compelling university discoveries into the market that improve the quality of life. But we're very excited about the business that we've built. It has some very unique features to it. And most prominently, it leverages what we feel are brilliant innovations in intellectual capital in a wide variety of areas.
Right. I mean, one of the things which stand out as far as your company is concerned is that you say you do things on the cheap, but compared to your sector peers, let's say, I mean, you are the level of activity financially is at a much lower level. You've raised much less money. Is that necessarily a good thing?
Well, it's a we view it as an efficient thing. We've raised £6.5 million since inception, which is very small in the sector that we're operating in, but we're still punching, in our opinion, way above our weight. And we've created net asset value that's in excess of the capital, of all the capital we've raised since inception. And we're just entering our fourth year of operation. So, we think we're doing a couple of things correctly. One, we're keeping our expenses low. Two, we have a forward revenue sharing model, which reduces our cost of acquisition of properties. Three, we select properties that are very close to market, not R&D projects, not science projects. The science project has already been done before we bring it into our portfolio. And then we feel we have the wherewithal to choose wisely. And of course, only time will tell how sagacious we are. But yeah, we're very excited about the nuances of our model that we feel enhance the efficiency and allow us to function well on relatively smaller amounts of capital compared with our peers.
One of the points I think I've noticed in terms of the tech area is that the market, well, there's a couple of obvious things, but the market's very impatient in terms of waiting for a result from companies in the tech area. That 4 years is like a lifetime for many private investors. They want to see something in 3 months. The other
Sure.
point there is that there tends to be a better valuation if you're a one-trick pony company, say you're just into VR or AR. Rather than if you're a company as you are, which you have many strings to your bow in many different areas. I mean, you've got the I think the the sort of the light salt and the various other things. And does in a way, wouldn't you have more value if you were compartmentalized more?
It's possible, of course, but we feel that our upside potential is really enormous because of the leverage that we're able to bring to the table with our technology sourcing capabilities, our ability to acquire things inexpensively, and if we do get a win from any one of the properties, they're worth, in our opinion, at least the value of our entire enterprise, if not a multiple. So we think that it's a different business than just doing a specific technology vertical, which has its own merits and its own risks. But our business, we think, is sort of risk mitigated because it's distributed across technologies and across opportunities, and has a low cost basis and a very high multiple. And we are starting to see a high return on invested capital, and our CAGR is probably the best in the entire sector, even though we're the youngest and smallest company, which is, in our opinion, impressive. So, yeah, we like the business that we're in specifically.
Right, and I mean, you have many many areas. I know that, for instance, there's a social media interest in Bellascura and Lucid. What would you say is the for the rest of the year that your particular favorite, let's say?
Well, we have sort of a tripartite favorite at this point. Of the nine companies that we've set up, Bellascura, Lucid, and Solaris, we feel are starting to show significant value. Bellascura is it's a pretty remarkable company for the fact that it's 24 months old. It has about 25 intellectual properties that it's acquired the exclusive rights to. It has five products, three that have been fully developed and are being sold, and two that are in late stage development. One of those products is it's a oxygen concentrator. It's called a portable oxygen concentrator, which is amongst the smallest and the lightest weight of oxygen concentrators in the market. And it also will be the only one that has a remarkable feature set of replaceable sort of cartridges for reducing the nitrogen, concentrating the oxygen. Which is very important because people that use portable oxygen concentrators, unfortunately, as the diseases progress, you often need to get a higher volume product that can provide, more liters of air per minute. Whereas with the device that they've developed, you can just replace the cartridge with one that has a higher capacity, which could save you £2,000. If you're a user of a portable oxygen concentrator, whether you're paying for it yourself or your insurance provider is. So we think that they have a really exciting product in a billion-dollar market that's growing at 10 to 20% a year. And we own about 35% of that company. And it's made in, although there have been, you know, certain fits and starts, like with any early stage company, overall, in our opinion, they've made remarkable progress since a clean sheet inception about 24 months ago. So that's one, to answer your question. A second one is Lucid, which is a company that we established in September of 2017 to commercialize a portfolio of IP in the augmented reality space. We did a token generation event over the last couple of months, and we raised about $6 million to develop a pair of augmented reality spectacles. And that company is doing very well, and it'll be opening up an online optic shop at the end of June, and it'll be offering its first product in July. That's a Bluetooth-enabled pair of glasses that you can outfit with your prescription that allows you to access, you know, your phone, answer your phone, listen to music, speak with Siri or Google Voice or Alexa, all with a pair of prescription glasses. And then a second generation augmented reality spectacle will be available in March of 2019. So Lucid is really, in our opinion, is out of the starting blocks and is starting to create some real value and real interest on a global basis. In fact, we just announced this week that we hired Gina Avila to be the marketing, the global marketing manager for the online business for Lucid, and she was previously at a chain of optical stores called Four Eyes, which operates 116 optic shops in the United States. And so, she was responsible for their online optics business, and so she'll be running our online optics business at Lucid. So we're very excited about Lucid. And then a third is Solaris. Solaris is a remarkable company. It's a Latin word for salt. And what Solaris has is it has a patented process that it owns to produce salt that's the smallest, in our opinion, the smallest crystal size of any edible salt in the world. It's basically 100 times smaller than table salt. And the benefit of having really small crystals is that they dissolve faster on your tongue, which means they produce a higher sensation of saltiness in your brain for a smaller amount of salt. And so basically, if you put these very small salt crystals on, say, crisps, they taste very salty, but they have roughly half the sodium of traditional crisps. And so that very simple statement is really, you know, quite a remarkable achievement, because it means potentially that the amount of sodium consumption can be significantly reduced in millions of people around the world. Last year, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration came out with a guideline recommending that the sodium consumption, maximum sodium consumption for Americans should go, which was currently at 3,400 milligrams a day, should be reduced to 2,300, which is basically a teaspoon of salt. So this one-third reduction from a teaspoon and a quarter to roughly a teaspoon of salt, according to the U.S. FDA, would reduce the number of deaths from cardiovascular disease in the United States from between 25 and 50,000 per year, just reducing that amount of salt or sodium consumption. And so Solaris, with its small crystals, is very helpful in contributing to achieving that reduction, in our opinion. And so we're exploring now the idea of not only out-licensing the product, which we're interested in doing, of course, but also of creating a potentially creating a snack food brand that uses these salt crystals, which we own the exclusive rights to for the next 12 years. And to help us think through that process and consider whether we should do it or not, this week we announced that we added two new directors to Solaris, and those directors are, you know, highly experienced individuals in the snack food industry. One of them was responsible, was a marketing brand manager for one of the leading snack food companies in the world. Eduardo Suchon was at Pringles, And he was, you know, brand manager for that line, which is the fourth largest selling snack food. Then we also brought on Steve McCready, who was the director of product development at Albertsons, which is a large chain of supermarkets, about 2,300 supermarkets. And Steve was responsible for product development for the entire chain. You know, he had a large team, of course, helping him do that. And they made, amongst other things, all the snack foods, all the crisps, et cetera, and nuts and granola and other things that are private labeled by these supermarket chains. So both of those gentlemen were enthusiastic about Solaris to the point where they wanted to and did, in fact, join the board of directors of the company this week. So we're moving forward in figuring out the best way to bring Solaris's unique small salt crystals to the market. And so between Belskira, Lucid, and Solaris, we think we have a pretty great cadre of early-stage compelling companies that could make a significant difference in the marketplace, affect people's lives positively, and also create meaningful shareholder returns over time.
Right. And the only thing, which is left, is for you to crystallize the value of that potential, basically. And that would then feed through to the share price or the valuation of tech capital as a whole.
Yes, and I'm sure there was no pun intended, but yes, that's absolutely correct. And in fact, we are doing it. From our last results, you know, the revenue for 2017 was just over $7 million versus $764,000 for 2016. And our profitability was just over $4 million for 2017. And our net assets grew from $3 million to $10.6 million from 2016 to 2017. So we are creating value. But yes, we feel that we're just beginning to, and that with a bit of good fortune and continued hard efforts, we can see this really blossoming in the future.
Clifford Gross, Executive Chairman of Tech Capital, thank you very much indeed.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate your interest.